Most of the elected officials in the Connecticut and New York region are Democrats. So today was something special.
You don't realize the oppressiveness of the last administration every day in every way, thwarting the values of this country, pitting people against one another, creating hate and deception. The sheer view that that is gone is so deeply personal.
Connecticut Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro was one such Democrat. She says she was brought to tears. DeLauro also has newfound power. This year, she will be chair of the House Appropriations Committee.
Likewise, New York's Chuck Schumer is Senate Majority Leader. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont said that the state has friends in the White House, and he said we shouldn't overplay our hand, but we should play it. Republican and newly elected Long Island Congressman Andrew Garbarino signed a letter to Biden pledging bipartisan support on several issues. Long Island Republican Lee Zeldin criticized Biden's energy policy and tweeted President Trump's farewell address. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region.
Coming up, Connecticut lawmakers are torn over a Biden administration nominee, MTA riders will not see a fare hike, and offshore wind is coming, but when? I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
President Joe Biden has nominated Lloyd J. Austin III as the first Black defense secretary. But U.S. senators from Connecticut are split on whether to accept Austin's nomination because of a technicality. WSHU's Cassandra Basler reports.
Senator Richard Blumenthal says there's an important 7-year buffer required before an ex-military leader can head the Pentagon. Austin retired as a general in 2016, so he needs a waiver from Congress to get around that requirement. Blumenthal says he thinks Austin is a great candidate, but it's important to ensure a civilian leads the Department of Defense.
My opposition to the waiver is not personal. It's a matter of principle. And I want to move on to the merits of policy issues that will confront you if confirmed.
Blumenthal was speaking to Austin at the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing this week. He also voted against a waiver for former President Trump's defense pick, Jim Mattis, in 2017. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy said in a tweet, Austin does not raise the same concerns of military control under Biden as former Secretary Mattis did under Trump. He supports a swift transition for Austin. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.
The Metropolitan Transportation Authority will put a hold on the planned vote over a fare hike for riders. They say it's poor timing due to the financial impact of the pandemic on its customers.
MTA Chairman Patrick Foy, in a statement to postpone the vote, said commuter train riders have made it clear they are cash-strapped due to the pandemic. Foy said he is hopeful the MTA will continue to receive more federal stimulus money and will wait several months to vote on the plan. The MTA's plan aimed to increase revenue by at least 4%, but some riders on the LIRR would pay up to 16% more to offset pandemic losses. MTA ridership has been down during the pandemic. The MTA board has said they are concerned that the fare increase may further deter riders from returning. The MTA still plans to move forward with a February vote on raising tolls by 8%. Claire Sechrist, WSHU News.
Connecticut Water Company customers may see their bills rise this year, too. The water utility announced they have filed for a rate increase for the first time in 10 years.
Coming up, advocates for offshore wind hope President Biden can help finally jumpstart the Vineyard Wind Project in New England. But first, we have headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate in Connecticut has dropped to 5.3%. Connecticut residents aged 65 and older will be able to schedule appointments for the COVID-19 vaccine starting in early February.
On Long Island, the 7-day positivity rate dipped to 7.7%. The rest of New York is down to 6.4%. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has appointed Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont to co-chair the National Governors Association's Pandemic Task Force to coordinate interstate disaster response. Cuomo is the chairman of the association.
A Connecticut man was charged yesterday with assaulting a police officer at the U.S. Capitol insurrection. Patrick Edward Magui III can be seen in a YouTube video from the storming, using a clear plastic police shield to push his way through a line of officers protecting the Capitol. He's also being charged with resisting or impeding certain officers or employees, civil disorder, and violent entry or disorderly conduct.
A new poll from Siena College says nearly three-quarters of New Yorkers have already been vaccinated against COVID-19 or plan to do so. About a quarter of New Yorkers do not plan on getting the vaccine. Pollsters say those who won't get vaccinated represent five different demographic groups: Republicans, Independents, African Americans, Latinos, and voters under 35.
By 2030, developers of offshore wind hope to install over 2,000 turbines in the sea from Massachusetts to North Carolina. But the industry has gotten off to a slow and unsteady start. The Vineyard Wind Project off Martha's Vineyard was expected to be the nation's first utility-sized wind farm at sea. But Bruce Gellerman reports that the project is in uncharted waters.
Vineyard Wind was slated to be the industry's debut project. But State Senator Michael Barrett, head of the committee that oversees utilities and energy, blames the Trump administration for stalling the federal environmental permitting process.
Boy, I feel badly for the private sector developers here. They did come to Massachusetts first. Massachusetts beckoned them first. So those private sector firms, some of them European, really have been dealt a delay time and again by the Trump people.
Just days before Vineyard Wind expected to get final approval, federal regulators decided to delay the project for 18 months, while a cumulative environmental impact of all the proposed offshore projects was conducted. The Responsible Offshore Development Alliance, representing the commercial fishing industry, had wanted to slow the permitting process down. Annie Hawkins is executive director of the alliance.
You know, it's really, really hard to evaluate trade-offs between something really important like fishing and something really important like climate change mitigation. Both of these things need to be addressed together, and they can be. But right now, the way we look at it, it's not happening that way.
The unexpected delay caught Vineyard Wind's developer by surprise, tossing its plans to pioneer offshore wind into the air. Company CEO Lars Patterson.
We had booked vessels, we had booked factory slots, we had procured equipment. All of that we basically had to scrap. So it was a significant financial impact on the project.
To address federal regulators and the fishing industry's concerns, Vineyard Wind went back to the drawing board. It dramatically reduced the number of turbines it planned to put into the sea, and last month announced what it lost in towers it was going to make up in power with General Electric's gigantic new turbine.
Meet GE's Haliad X, the world's first 12-megawatt offshore wind turbine. The Haliad X captures more wind and converts it to more energy than any other turbine in the industry.
Each Haliad X blade is longer than a football field. At sea, the wind generator stands 85 stories tall. That's higher than the tallest building in New England. The giant turbines required Vineyard Wind to reconsider all aspects of the project. And last month, they said they needed more time and announced it was temporarily pausing the federal permitting process. But days later, just before Christmas, the Department of Interior said, no, Vineyard Wind had to start the process all over from the start, effectively killing Vineyard Wind. The decision left the $2.8 billion project hanging in the air. Vineyard Wind CEO Lars Patterson now hopes President Biden will look more favorably on its request to temporarily pause the federal process.
So we're in the final stages of conducting that internal review. Once that's completed, we will go back to OEM and discuss with them how to proceed with the project.
The Biden administration has made offshore wind a part of its ambitions to boost economic recovery and combat climate change. And it has a powerful incentive to offer the industry. The economic package that passed just before the new year contains a new 30% investment tax credit for projects in the water before 2026. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Bruce Gellerman.
Thank you.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll be back tomorrow.